time for the Brian Cash Claus Show. And now here he is, the host with the most, Mr. Brian Cash Claus.
In the house here, our another one in the books. This is our first show together, Vaughn. So how are you today?
Hi, how are you doing today?
You look, what, are you about 60?
I'm about 18, turning 19.
There you go. That's it. So have you worked at a station before, or is this your first time?
This is my first live station here.
Okay, and when did you start here?
Started about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and how come I'm only seeing you for the first time now?
I took off Thursday last week for my internship. Actually, I do a sports internship.
Do you know what round that Tom Brady was drafted?
Very, very late.
But what round? $50 if you know the answer.
2001.
See? Who knows the answer?
Me.
I know it. 2001. No. Do you know what team he was drafted from? You got to do more studying if you're going to do the sports intern, huh?
Not a huge fan of Brady at all. So but I'm was from
the,
Buffalo.
He was in the fifth round.
I was thinking the sixth.
So. Wow, that would have been a good... I'm kidding with you. You know that. But he was the fifth round, and he was drafted from the University of... Michigan.
Michigan, right. Yeah.
And then where did he get his start? Who was the quarterback that got injured where he got his start? Right, he got his start because of being injured. It was on a Monday night game, and he played every game since. And he was on the bench for 2 years.
Number 10.
Bledsoe. See, these are all stuff that you should know, right, in life. Who ever hear of Lou Gehrig?
No. Yes. Yeah.
He played for the Yankees. He replaced someone and then played, right, because the guy got injured. And then 16 years later, he never missed a game. They called him the Iron Man. So the guy got injured. That was the only one that you can think of, like they think of. By getting injured, Lou Gehrig got his shot, right? And then he played 16 straight years, or he sat on the bench. And some say, you know, so like you never know the talent, like in sports. How many people might have been cut that could have been superstars? Johnny Unitas, we got to call him. But Johnny Unitas was cut by San Diego. And some say he's the greatest quarterback that ever has played the game in the 50s and 60s. And then he ended up going to Baltimore. So you never know. I wonder how many great players are out there that just never got a shot. And Michael Jordan, when he was in 10th grade, was cut. I mean, really. It's amazing. But Michael Jordan was cut. He tells the story, you know. So who knows? And now he's considered what? The greatest player that's ever played the game. Anyhow, we're going to be doing a show today. I'd like to let everybody know that we have Reverend Danny Garcia is going to come on the air. He's the walking man. He's met with the Pope 4 times. Is this Danny?
Andrew.
Okay, next time tell me, like, the person, like, just, like, say to me who. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
I didn't catch you, brother.
Okay, yeah, we got Vaughn. He's 18 years old, and it's his first time in the studio, and he's an intern for sports.
Okay.
And he's doing the show today.
Oh, nice.
So say hello to Andrew, Vaughn.
How you doing, Andrew?
Not too bad, Vaughn. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well, sir.
All right.
So now, like, as a parent, because you're a parent, right?
Yes, sir.
You have your 18-year-old kid taking an intern ship here at the radio station. Then you have him also going to college. As a parent, how proud would you be of this kid right here?
I'd be very proud of him.
Right. So and he's clean cut too. If you can't see it over the radio, but he's a clean cut kid too.
That's a good thing.
It's a real good thing. And then so we're gonna have Danny Garcia on later. Andrew, he's the Forrest Gump. They did the movie about him.
Okay.
He met with the Pope 4 times. He's met with Mother Teresa. He's met with Muhammad Ali. He has 2 letters that were written to him by Bill Clinton and also by Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Forrest Gump movie was done about him.
Do you know that my nickname in my neighborhood is Forrest Gump, Brian?
I didn't know that.
That's right. They call me Forrest Gump because I love driving my tractor and I'm cutting everybody's lawns. Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Andrew, we have moved, right? Actually, just like my daughter was asking me this today in the car. She's here in the studio, right?
Uh-huh.
So I have all the kids here.
How nice.
So she said to me, like, I don't know, maybe this is inappropriate, but just to give me a conversation, and it has to do with you.
Okay.
She says, is it okay for a girl to say another girl's pretty or that they look nice? Right?
Of course.
And that's what I said.
What's wrong with that?
Right. So then she says, is it okay for a boy to say to another boy? And then I said, I don't know about that because you can, because that could be misinterpreted. I said,
well, how you say it is you say you look dapper today.
You look dapper today.
That's right.
Right. I was trying to, like, the kids were in the car, so I didn't know what was appropriate answer. Like, you ever get asked a question and not know the appropriate answer?
The appropriate answer.
You look dapper.
Dapper today.
But
of
this,
course.
This goes to you. Just to be real, whenever I look at you, right? Not uh-huh. that I find you're so well dressed. Like your shirt's ironed, your pants are ironed, your shirt's clean, you have a belt on, your shoes are shiny, whatever. And then is that inappropriate for me to tell you that? Because you really, like when you get a haircut, someone that cares about themselves has a better chance of caring about you and doing it like professionally. You're professional. Okay, I'm lost word, but you're a professional in your, you dress for success. Would you agree with that?
I try to.
And do people comment on your dress?
All the time.
Thank you. So then
all
you know.
All the time.
So how many people are thinking that but don't say it, though? That's the point.
You're right. But you know what, too, Brian? You know, years ago when we were younger, about the same age as me, people used to dress all the time.
Right. You ever see in the old movies? Like
they're always dressed all the
suits,
time.
Suits, remember? In the
always.
Audiences?
Oh, do you remember when you would get on an airplane when we were kids? You had to be dressed up. That was a big thing to go fly somewhere when we were kids.
Right, and I always wore a suit, too. People don't believe me, like, because I'm sloppy.
No, it's true. It's true.
But my whole 20s, I wore a suit.
Uh-huh.
Yes. We have Danny on the line, too. I wanted you to meet. Can you have a second?
Sure.
Since you're the Forrest Gump of your neighborhood?
I'm Forrest Gump of Palm Harbor, buddy.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I'd like to introduce you to Danny.
Great.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. You are
this was a surprise. I didn't expect you to call.
Yeah, this is going on for until I pass on, because you're going to outlive me. This is a weekly thing. Like, I'm so honored to know you. Like, seriously.
Well, you know, you were on my mind. I was going to call you.
Well, good. See, it's strange how that works. There.
That's amazing.
Sick minds think alike. See? So, Andrew, it was the far. Tell Andrew. Andrew is he owns a barbershop and all that. He's really dapper. And tell him how your nickname is the Forrest Gump, because this is the real Forrest Gump you're talking to.
Now, how did I get the nickname?
Yeah.
Oh, my neighbors. Okay, I love driving my tractor. I've been driving a tractor since I was a kid, and I always loved driving one. And I cut the whole neighborhood's lawn. And apparently, I guess Forrest Gump liked cutting grass and riding his tractor. So they gave
That's
me
right.
the nickname. Pardon?
That's right.
There you go.
Did. He cut grass.
Well, there you go.
After he made all that money, yeah.
This is a prayer, if you don't mind. This is a prayer that Danny gave me to say. And I can't say that I've been saying it. Just that's, you don't lie about God, right? But it's here, and I'd like to say it, if you don't mind, Andrew.
No, not at all.
Okay. And I wrote it down, and he gave it to me to say, and I'd just like to start the show off. Since, it's also, you know, Danny's a reverend, too.
That's great.
Okay. It's, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that is the only, by your grace, that I've been saved. And then on the other side, because I was writing it in my car, okay, Jesus, and I think I miss a word too here, so maybe you can help me. Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross, and on the third day you rose from the dead. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I receive right now by the faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are the comforter, and you comfort people. I had a spot with that. So anyhow, just thought I'd start the show off that way with Danny on. And so you have anything to say to Andrew? You want to help me do an interview with Andrew here, Mr. Danny?
Sure.
And Danny owns a barbershop. He's a very well-dressed man. He's dapper, is what he told me to say. So, and he just moved recently to Overcash and Main Street. So he was at a plaza where Buster's used to be. And so he moved down the road. So, like, if you move, people might not know you moved, right? So that's the deal with Danny. How long have you been a barber, Andrew?
52 years. Ooh. I started shining shoes in my uncle's barbershop when I was 10 years old and got my apprentice license when I was 13. And I did barbering up until I was about 19. I went to hairdressing school. I did women's hair for 20 years and came back into barbering the rest of the time.
Wow.
It's been a long road.
I need a haircut.
You do? Where are you at?
Yeah, I do. I wish I would have known you. I can't go all the way to Clearwater. I'm in Melbourne.
Oh, that's a long drive. It's about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
I would say so.
But when you come down this way, would you cut his hair for him?
Of course I would. I'd be honored.
Thank you. Say that. I'm getting you a free hair. I didn't say the word free, though, but I'm assuming Danny.
I would take care of him. You got nothing to worry about.
Yes.
That's nice of you.
Do you do that? Do you, like, in your heart, like, that God leads you to give certain people's haircuts for free? Does that ever happen?
I do it all the time, Brian.
But you're led. Don't you believe the Spirit of God is coming through you to
always, always. Right. I have the Spirit of God in my heart. He never left me, brother. Believe me.
Yes.
There isn't a day goes by where my barbershop, I'm not preaching about the Lord's word somewhere.
Really? And there I didn't know that. And see,
oh, yes.
So
oh,
I try to get your permission first to not insult you. Can I talk about God?
Why would anybody be insulted talking about God?
But some people do, though.
Well, right? You know what? They don't have him in his heart, and they're missing out on something.
So I can just tell you something, Danny and Andrew, since this is we're on this. We didn't. Sometimes I think I'm bipolar, right?
I think you are, too, but that's beside the point. No,
okay.
I'm only joking.
No, but I am. How can I go from being angry at God, like if things aren't going my way, then, like, 2 or 3 hours later, like, I come to, like, I guess it's a bipolar condition. And
no,
then I... What is it?
I don't think it's a bipolar condition. Sometimes we get fed up and we get angry at something and you blame him. But then the next time you turn around, you know that he's not the blame. He's the one that saved you and gave you the decision to make the right decision of what you're angry about.
Right. Okay, well, I'm just letting you know that I do that sometimes, and I was wondering, am I the only one that, like, when things, like, I should have gratitude, right? Because when you have gratitude, that changes your attitude.
But sometimes we lose that. As blessed as we are sometimes we forget how blessed we are until we see that other person
right.
That isn't as blessed as much. And it's always put in front of you to make you realize it, too, believe me.
And then I feel guilty afterwards, Danny. Because I know that I did wrong.
No, I don't think the Lord wants you to feel guilty.
Yeah, just want to be, you know. And I'm wondering how many people out there lose faith or just because things aren't going their own way and act like little babies and whiners.
No, that's what you're explaining it right to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, everybody has a certain amount of greed in them. Let's be real. The only one that was perfect was the Lord, not us.
Amen. So, Danny, tell us about your adventure. What happened when you did the, we did the thing about awareness for kids with autism, right?
That's right.
Yep. Danny, so tell us about your new adventure where you're going to Toronto, where you're doing the walk to Toronto.
Oh,
let's talk about that.
Oh, I got some surprises for you. First of all, my next experience or my next journey is to fly to, you know, up near upstate New York, because I'm going to up near where they had the Olympics. What was that place?
You're not going to Rochester, are you?
I'm going to be in that area.
That's where I'm from.
I'm going to be in that area. Oh, well, I'm going to be in your area. I'm going to be walking, in fact, at some point in your area. But I've been invited. I'm a Rotarian, and I've been invited to speak at a Rotary conference that's taking place, a Rotary meeting up there, and it's going to be on April 18th, 19th, and 20th. And I'm not going to do a walk there, but I'm going to talk, and they want me to talk about the walk I'm going to be doing. It's going to be quite a few Rotarians there, and they want me to talk about peace. I mean, that word came up. And I started thinking about that. I said, I want to ask them, well, what does peace mean to you? What does peace mean to you? And I'm going to have them write it on a piece of paper, I think, and I want to gather those notes in of what they said. Just give me one word. What does peace mean to you? And so, then after that, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be there and socialize and hang out and, you know, with them and let them know what I'm doing. And then I'll fly back. And then in May, I have to do the honor flight project. I'm you know, Vietnam era veteran, and I'm going to be participating in that. I have a guardian who's going to be with me, making sure I'm okay. And we're going to be with World War One, World War Two, Vietnam veterans, Korean veterans, guys.
Well, that's amazing. I'm jealous on that one. I'm jealous for that one.
Are you a veteran?
Why?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm jealous because I would love to be there, just to be with those World War II veterans. There are no more World War I veterans left. Okay, yeah, they are all gone. The last one died, I believe, last year at about 101 years old.
Really?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, so there are no more World War I veterans left, but there are still plenty of World War II, and what an honor it would be to fly on that honor plane with these people.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Vietnam veterans. Okay?
I'm looking forward to that. I really am. It's going to be a tearjerker.
Yes, it is.
Like a lot of memories.
Yep, I could only imagine.
And then after that, after I finish that, then I'm going to stay in D.C. for a couple more days, and then I'm going to do a walk throughout D.C., not D.C., but the memorials, where the memorials are at. And I'll probably ask the Senate chaplain, Chaplain Black, to, you know, launch me, and then I'll walk somehow to the U.N. And I understand that there are Rotarians that are there at the U.N. In fact, I heard it was Rotarians that started the United Nations. I didn't even know that. And can you believe that? I mean, that's there everywhere.
That's
so
very cool.
I'll do that walk. I'll do a walk there at the UN, and then I'll maybe do one at 911 while I'm there in New York, and then get to Poughkeepsie, New York.
That's where my wife is from.
Right? And she's from Poughkeepsie.
She's from Poughkeepsie. I'm from Rochester.
Oh wow.
Well, I'm gonna be all walking through that, and then on from there on to Toronto for the convention that Rotary's having. It's their 101st anniversary, and there's going to be about 40,000 plus at the convention in Toronto, and what else? There's going to be people from all over the world here. So I'll be walking right into it.
Well, that's awesome.
And that's a four-day walk. I mean, that's
what
a four-day
What an opportunity. Sounds like you stay busier than I do.
I think he does,
man,
Andrew.
You're busy cutting hair, and I'm busy walking.
Oh, I'll tell you, I think I'd rather be walking at this time. Standing in the same spot gets to your legs, believe me.
But that's the plan for right now.
You know, we're talking about walking. I would like to do a little promo for one of our clients here located in Clearwater. It's Rizzoli's Pizza, and they are doing a walk on April 28th. For the March of Dimes, and it's going to be starting in Safety Harbor. It's at 110 Veterans Memorial Lane in Safety Harbor. And again, that's April 28th. The sign-up begins at 8:30 a.m., and the walk will begin at 9:30 a.m., and they're going to walk 3 miles. And if anyone would like to donate, you can donate at www.marchforbabies.org/team/Rizzoli's. And again, that's one of our clients, a really good guy, James. He's tuning in, listening right now, and he's over at Rizzoli's Pizza, which they have just moved from one location to a new location. And they are now located at 2340 Florida 580. And that's Clearwater, 33763. And they do deliveries, guys. You can call
them. You
want
to hear something freaky?
You know, let me tell
you something. Wait, Andrew, I got to say something freaky.
Let me tell you something. Rizzoli's moved right into next door to where my old barber shop
was. I was just about to say that. You guys.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I've had a lot of my clients come in and telling me how great their food is.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
It's phenomenal. They tell me they're great. I'm sorry I moved. I would have got a pizza every day.
So listen to this. Andrew, think about this, Danny. We're doing a commercial from a plaza where the guy moved out of the plaza to another plaza. And then we're doing a commercial from a guy that moved from another plaza into where Andrew's plaza was.
Right.
So Andrew left.
They have quite a reputation. I'm telling you, all my customers from there have tried the place, and they told me how fantastic it is.
Well, that's good to hear. Awesome.
This next song, in honor of the World War I veterans that are no longer here, because I was thinking we could do it for World War II, but let's do it for World War I. It's going to be Andrew. He's a master barber. He's at Overcash, 1110 Overcash Drive. And this is in honor of Danny, who's doing this event. And then also Rizzoli's.
Yeah.
Right? The man, if you knew this guy behind the scenes, the stuff he does for the community, the difference between him and me is what? He does it secretly. I make flyers and post it.
You let everybody know, right?
Right. I have no secret.
I know. I remember when you come into my shop, you told me you gave like 90,000 turkeys to somebody.
Right. Why keep it a secret? So me, I boast and brag, right? Okay. But this guy at Rizzoli's doesn't do no boasting, no bragging. And it's the same thing with Danny. You got to, you know, he'll tell you spiritual experiences and testimonial from his experiences.
But I'll tell you this, everybody has a play a part. See, you get the word out there so other people are aware. So there you go.
Okay. But hey, Danny, you ready? This
I'm
song
ready.
Here. Okay, wait. It's from World War I. You want to make $50, Danny?
Oh, God. No, give it to Andrew.
Oh, Andrew.
Andrew is better at this than me.
Okay, Andrew.
I'm terrible.
World War I. Let's see what we can know about
wait.
World War I.
You, Danny. I mean, Andrew, you want to make $50?
Let's see if we can.
What song?
World War I is a little bit above my age group, but we'll give it a shot.
What song do you think, which already pre-picked? Hey, Vaughn, tell him, is the song already pre-picked? Say, you can't even shake your head.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, you name the song that we picked. Right?
Name a what?
You name the song that we're about to play, you win $50.
Okay, go ahead.
You name it.
Oh.
What song did we pick that's famous from World War I?
That's famous from World War I.
And I'll give you on a clue?
When the Caissons Go Rolling Along.
No?
No?
But that's a good one. We can play that too. I'll give you a clue. James Cagney did it in a movie.
James Cagney.
Oh, I saw
did
that
it.
Movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Yankee Doodle.
Oh, Yankee Doodle, huh?
And
there
these kids,
go.
I have kids here today.
He's right. It's probably Yankee Doodle.
No, it's... Okay, let's go. Ready, Hal? Ready? Don't hang up anybody, all right? Right.
Go ahead.
Play it loud.
Over there.
I'm going to say that.
Send the word over there. And the Yanks are
coming. The Yanks are coming.
The
there
Yanks
you go.
This is my song.
Thank you.
So what'd you guys think, huh?
Brian, yes. I should have known that song. You know, I've been playing the accordion since I was 6 years old, and that was probably the fourth song I ever learned how to play on that thing.
Really?
Yes, see? Sir.
It's a IBM. Yes, what sir, is an IBM, a, Danny?
You're talking years
I've
ago.
I've got a tape of that movie.
In 1961, I started playing this thing. When I was growing up, all you heard was military songs.
Right, or cowboy movies.
Or cowboy movies, you're right.
Or cowboy.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
So what'd you
that
think?
Made me feel like I wanted to march.
Yeah, that's a real upbeat song to make you feel, you know, patriotic, without a doubt.
Well, James Cagney was very patriotic. Great guy. Actually.
Yes, he was.
All of the Hollywood people were in those days.
Yeah, remember when he whimpered to die on one of the movies to let the kids know that he wasn't. They wanted to follow in his footsteps. And the father asked him, please, don't let, they're all looking up to you, going to follow you because you're a criminal and they see you. Yeah. And then he said at the end when he was put to death, whimper. And he goes, I can't do that in the movie, of course. But he did it just to save the kids. Do you know the movie I'm talking about?
You guys got me on this because I'm not a movie mogul.
Yeah. But anyhow, that was the greatest scene I've ever seen for James Cagney, of course. You know, like where he was willing.
Number one.
He was willing to give up his. He was willing to save the kids. He was willing to look like he was a coward, so they wouldn't follow
in
his
footsteps.
He was a gangster
in that movie.
Yeah. So anyhow, my daughter's going to ask you guys a couple questions.
It's jokes.
Whoever's jokes, you let the punchline. You let them answer. it's really I can't see it so. You read it. Read the joke and then let the punchline. And whoever gets the first punchline between Danny and Andrew gets $50.
Well, you're in the mood to give away $50 today, huh?
Yeah. But the check's in the mail. Always remember that. Okay, ready, Liberty? Go ahead. Ask a question. Like, do it. It's like a joke, but then let them see if they can get the punchline.
I can run but not walk, have a mouth but can't talk, in a bed but I do not sleep. What am I?
Say it
again.
Can
you read that again? I could hardly hear it.
Yeah.
I can run but not walk, have a mouth but can't talk, in a bed but I do not sleep. What am I?
A newspaper.
No.
Nope. It's a river.
What?
Right, I get it. Now say it again. It's a river. Say it again now.
I can run but not walk, have a mouth but can't talk, in a bed but I do not sleep. What am I?
A river.
A river.
All right, you get one more chance, guys. This is it, because I don't want to give away $50. This is a big paying show. And anybody in here, okay, Vaughn, I'm going to put you in on it. Say, Vaughn, say hello.
Hello.
You're in on the $50, too.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we got Danny against Andrew against Vaughn against... actually, it's Terrion's birthday. Terrion, too. Ready? Yeah, do one. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Danny, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What kind of bed does a mermaid sleep in?
What was that again, honey?
What kind of bed does a mermaid sleep in?
What kind of what?
What type of bed does a mermaid sleep in?
A water bed.
Yeah.
Ah, Andrew!
Ah, you got it.
The audience.
10 points for the barber.
10 points.
Bingo.
You want to go double or nothing?
Double or nothing? All right, let's go.
Yeah. This is just for Andrew because I'm trying to get my $50 back. All right, go.
What kind of crackers do firemen like in their soup?
What kind of what?
Crackers.
What kind of car keys?
No.
Crackers.
Oh, what kind of crackers does a fireman leave in his soup? Firecrackers.
Is that right?
Yes.
You gotta be kidding me.
I won.
No way.
Oh my God.
God. Wait a second here. This is
firecrackers.
I guess, Andrew, you're never gonna see me again. All right, we're gonna go double nothing one more time, Andrew. All right, ready? Give him another one. He's too smart for us, guys. Give him one he can't get. Just read it. This is.
Oh, okay. What do you call a house that likes food?
What do you kind of call a house that likes food?
Yes.
A pancake house.
No.
What?
What do you call a house that likes food?
Oh, wait. Let his wife answer, because Danny's wife. A house that likes food.
A house that makes food or a house that eats food?
A house that likes food.
A house that likes food.
A house that likes food. My goodness, you got it. I don't know, you got me on that one.
A condiment.
A condiment.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay, you got me on that
one. All right, we're back to zero.
We're back. I was trying to get a free ad. What are you talking about here? We're done now.
Free ad? I got scared there. I was sweating. Did you ask these guys? Did you see sweat going down my face?
Yeah, I know, right?
Andrew had me scared there.
He did good.
So anyhow, you're going to Toronto with the World War II veterans, and you can see that's right up Andrew's alley, because he like you see the stuff that this father or Reverend Garcia does is just amazing.
Yeah,
he's just an amazing man.
I'm glad that there's people out there like him doing their thing.
Yeah,
and you know, today I was waiting for some Vietnam veterans to come in today because their haircuts would be on the house for me, because today you know is honoring the Vietnam Veterans Day.
I did not know that.
Really?
How many people? 58,000.
Today's the day put aside to honor the Vietnam veterans, my friends.
Wow. Then we have a, you know what? Can we play a, we're going to play a Vietnam veteran song, right? And if you can get, what would be the, can you play the, I'm not even going to go in there, but for Vietnam veterans, say most famous song for Vietnam.
And Sergeant Barry Stadler wrote it.
Okay, and then whatever the song comes up, play it. Like the most famous Vietnam veteran song.
I can tell you, it's got to be it by Sergeant Barry Stadler, the Ballad of the Green Berets.
The March of Dimes Walk, April 28th. It is at 110 Veterans Memorial Lane in Safety Harbor. Everybody come out and walk for March of Dimes. And if you can, if you want to donate online, it's www.marchforbabies.org/team/Rizzolis.
Wow. Yeah, and like some people don't see the importance of radio, to be honest with you. Like, because there's no tangible results to it, right? But if you keep your name out there from a branding standpoint, like if I say to you McDonald's, right? Right away you think hamburgers, right? I'm not saying spend millions of dollars like McDonald's, but radio, I believe power of the spoken word. If you keep your name out there and brand your name in all different areas of media, it can't hurt you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's no tangible result. Like, they can't see the result. So sometimes, like, when I'm selling radio advertising to people, there's no, unless someone tells the owner, oh, I heard you on the radio, right? Very rarely, it doesn't get, it's really, it's a trackable thing. It's very hard to track. Like, right now, I'm going to say Andrew. How do you pronounce your last name? Ceresi?
Ceresi.
Ceresi, Master Barber, and he's at Overcast Drive in Dunedin. See, I'm getting that word out there on the radio, right?
Yeah. That's it.
But does anybody, unless someone says something to you, hey, I heard Andrew's name on the radio, it's a frustrating thing to show people that it is in your best interest to be on the radio, but at the same time, is it from an investment standpoint, is it worth it? And it's like a catch-22. How do you prove it?
Well, you know, the thing is repetitiveness, Brian.
Right.
They got to hear about you all the time.
So this, I'm going to say it again then. The March of Dimes, 110 Veterans Memorial. It's in Safety Harbor. And donations go to www.marchforbabies. Wow. Who can argue with that one? .org/team/Rizzoli. Wow. Wow.
You know, it gives a room for the imagination as for the viewer that's listening. You know what I mean? It's like when I was walking in the Philippines and I got sick in the walk, I had a cramp in my stomach and I stopped and I had a large group of people with me and people were listening all over national television in the Philippines. Well, they were concerned. People that were listening were concerned. It's kind of like they caught their breath. And they had to catch their breath because they were concerned for my. They didn't know what happened. So it's kind of like it's kind of cool in a way because it lets you imagine and think about what's going on. It's not just there looking at another person talking on television. And actually, when I got to my destination, there was a guy who came up to me and he says, you know, I didn't know who you were, but my heart stopped when I heard, you know, that you were. You, obviously, you were sick. Something happened, and I didn't know if you were going to continue or not. And I prayed for you, and I'm so glad that you made it. So it's cool. Radio is cool. I mean, that's how I grew up as a kid, listening to radio. We didn't have TV at the time.
Right.
I love you know, Brian, seeing you guys are talking about veterans and everything today, let me tell you a quick story. I was 12 years old, when my oldest brother was leaving for Vietnam. And at 12 years old, I really didn't know much what was going on. You didn't follow politics. All I know is my brother was going to a war. But I remember that he woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning because he had to catch his plane to head out. That morning was an experience I never forgot in my life, because I remember laying there crying in my bed, thinking that I would never see my brother again. And you know what? My mother was never the type of woman to cry in her life, but I never seen her cry until the day he got off of that plane when he came back from Vietnam. And you know what? I never forget that all my life. And every time I even talk about it, I still get tears in my eyes.
I got tears in my eyes right now, to be honest.
You know, it's really something, and that's why you hear about these people going off to the Middle East now and this and that. You can only imagine what their families feel. Will we ever see him again? Yeah, always remember this.
There's a song that we're going to be sharing with the whole world. It's called One Night of Peace. And it was written by Bruce Foster, who I told you about, and Richie Sambora. I'm going to send you that song.
We'll play it next week.
Conjunction what you're talking.
We'll play
that to you.
Yeah, because I talked to Bruce. Seems like a real nice cat. He was in the mountains, so he lost reception, and he tried to call me.
Yes,
we were doing
right.
Phone tag. Oh, do you have the song? Okay, we do have it, but let's play the song. Did you guess the song from World War II? Who guessed it?
From World War II?
Oh, no, Vietnam. I'm sorry, Vietnam.
Vietnam, I'm already telling you. It's Sergeant Barry Stadler wrote it, and it's the Ballad of the Green Berets.
Okay, go ahead. Play the song you chose, Vaughn. And this is in honor of all the Vietnam veterans.
Soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request.
That's it. You know what? That's a song I don't think would be famous with the actual Vietnam era. Like, that's not, like, that would be a propaganda song. I hate to say it that way. That the American government would play, but that's not the song the troops were listening to.
I don't know. I could tell you what, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear it.
No, but what I'm saying to you, no, it's a beautiful song. That's what I'm saying. But don't you think, like, when I think of something like Jimi Hendrix and things of, like, when they do in the movies. No, that song is beautiful. I don't want to take anything away from it. But it's, like you know those songs they play in the movies from Vietnam, when they do those Vietnam movies?
Yeah, they play a lot of the old rock songs.
Right. What would be the number one song that would be known from a rock song?
Wow. That one you got, man.
Like Jimi Hendrix. But that, even listening to that song, brought a little tear to my eye.
Oh, that was a powerful song in those
days. Is that the one that you said that would it be?
That's the one that I said, yeah.
Is that amazing?
Yep, and I told you, Sergeant Barry Stadler was the one who wrote it. And the reason I know that, again, because my brother being in Vietnam, that must have been the sixth song I learned how to play on my accordion.
Wow. What'd you think of that, Danny?
You know, I think I was in the Marines. I wasn't in the Marine Beret, but I was just thinking. I was just reflecting because I had a lot of friends of mine that didn't come back, and I just, you know, had a deja vu experience just now. I was thinking about guys like Sergeant Eaglin, who lost his life and was on a hospital ship, and he died 2 days out of port coming to the States, and he never saw his son. I was his best man to his wedding, and there was a Staff Sergeant Patton, who was our judo instructor, and he got killed, and he got shot the first time and came back, and then they went back again, and then he was killed. I was, at that time, I was listening more to, you know, like, you know, the rock music, you know. People were trying to get out of their minds, out of where they were to another place. That's where I was. People were not happy where they were. I mean, there was a lot of, just so much stuff going on. And, you know, there's the politics and, you know, I don't know. I don't understand.
You know what amazes me today is I look at you guys, like I looked at my brother, 18 years old, off to war. Okay, and what you guys endured in Vietnam, I've heard all the stories. I was fortunate enough, I was too young to never have to go. But I've heard all the stories from a lot of my friends that were there, heard stories from my brother. And I look at you guys at 18 in those days, and I look at the 18-year-old people today. And I see such a total difference.
We have the guy in the booth, Andrew. It's IBM, Itty Bitty Miracle. Vaughn, how old are you?
I am 18.
Right? Remember how we started the show?
Yep.
How proud I would be.
That's right.
Now look at Vaughn.
That's right.
Imagine if I said, Vaughn, right now, go off to war. And how would you feel? Would you be scared a little?
I mean, in this point in time, right now, how the world is, I'd probably be, but my brother's in the Army right now, and he just got an AIT, so now he's in Korea.
Wow, see? We don't know it. Is it, you know what, just my theory on the Vietnam War, is if we would have dropped rice, there was a guy, a professor, that did a study, and he said like 70% of the people in Vietnam were for us, like to get away from the communism, but by the end of the war, it was like 8%. And the reason why is that's why we had to pull out. It's because we were bombing people's villages, right? Not, like, say, their crops and stuff. And all they knew is who bombed my crops with napalm and all that. And so now they were for us. There was a movie that was done that showed it.
They were starving.
Right. So this teacher was for us, and she was a spy for us. And by the end of the movie, she was for the other side. And they showed, like, 10 people in the movie where they originally were for us. And they showed the reasons why they were against us. The one time we bombed one of the schools, and she was a teacher. She's like, you know, of course, if we just would have dropped rice, just think of this, we just would have dropped rice and food packages on everybody, we would have won the people over. But that sounds crazy to people to say that, right?
Yeah, you would think so. But you know what? Is war ever any really good, Brian? You would think that in the 21st century... Nobody wants to see their children die. Nobody wants to see anybody starve. And so why do you still have all this going on today?
Don't know.
I mean, who wants to see their family die in a war?
No one.
Nobody.
All right. We're going to we have a young man here, actually, because, you know, it's spring break.
Yep.
My daughter is out of school. She actually has a 4.2 average.
God bless.
On the principal's list. She's a cheerleader. And my son is plays football, and he's even playing football now in the spring league. And then we have Terry on. He plays football, and he plays on a basketball program where his games are on Saturday. And he does really well in school. And this is the first time Terry on's made the honor roll.
That's fantastic.
Right? So Terry on's on the honor roll. Liberty is... And then London scored a 30-yard touchdown. Tell him, London, the 30-yard touchdown.
I score.
in the game. You know how proud I was?
You know what, Brian? The success your children are having is a reflection on you, isn't it? You must be a good parent.
Well, not really, to be honest with you. And I mean this sincerely, and I'm not saying what? This.
I honestly didn't think I was either.
But yeah.
But I see the way the kids have grown up, and you got to give yourself some kind of credit.
But the thing is, really, to be honest with you, like, and I should, I'm mentally unstable, and I'm frequently wrong. But I just play it off like I'm not. Hey, do me a favor. Do the happy birthday song. Can you guys, Andrew and Danny, my son's birthday's today. He's 14. And say hello, Terrion.
Hello.
Oh, that's how you try to sound old. That's not his voice, by the way.
Hello.
No, it's not.
You sound like me, a little kid.
Okay, so anyhow, we're going to sing, if it's all right with you and Danny and Andrew, we're going to sing happy birthday to my 14-year-old son. Ready?
You got it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Terrion. Happy birthday, dear Terrion.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Terrion. You're 14, big 14. He turned 14. He got on the roll. He needs some new clothes. He got jelly rolls.
Get your wallet out, Dad. Wow.
Okay, and then let me ask you something, Mr. Danny. I'm looking at this. You met you just listen to this, Andrew. He met with the Pope 4 times. He met with Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Muhammad Ali,
Michael
Nelson
Jackson.
Mandela, Oprah Winfrey,
Michael
Jimmy
Jackson.
Carter, Michael Jackson. And he has letters here like from Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan. And I'm talking about the Walking Man, the Forrest Gump.
Good.
And I was curious. He said he was going to put my picture on the website, right? And I'm trying to think of who I want to be in between. Tell me. I was thinking Nelson Mandela and the Pope. Or wait.
The Pope.
Maybe you could put me.
You got to say which Pope it is.
Pope. Tell him the story how you met the Pope.
John Paul I.
Yeah.
John Paul II.
No, John Paul II.
There you go. You have to be by him because he was a great Pope.
Tell him how you have the picture hanging up in the Vatican, Danny.
What was that? Well, I was able to get into the Vatican and present this mural that an artist had done, and it was the picture was of a child in God's hand. And I've taken it literally all over the world, but I really felt it belonged in the Vatican, and it's still there. It's cool.
That's fantastic.
Okay, so we're going to say, we're going to end with the Song of Peace. Thank you. Also, I'd like to say March of Dimes, 110 Veterans Memorial, Safety Harbor. 3 miles. It's www.marchforbabies.org/team/Rizzolis. And that's on April 1st? No. Because that would be April Fool's Day, right?
That'll be Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that wouldn't be it. So, but anyhow, I don't have the exact date, but go to donate money for this great cause for babies that are sick and families can't afford it. And the head, you know, just to keep your bills paid, imagine having to go to hospital, work your job, and worry about a sick child is just...
There could be nothing worse.
Nothing worse. And yeah, we're going to end with the peace song. That's this is Bruce's song. Do you want to just give us a little heads up on the song, Danny?
You know, it was written by Bruce Stephen Foster. We wrote it about 20 years ago, and I've literally taken it around the world on my back when we made a T-shirt. We put the lyrics on the back.
Okay, so here it is. The song's over. I mean, with the show's over. Let's play the song. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Brian.
Just stay on the line, but listen to the Bruce song.
You got it, buddy.
Oh, no, I guess not. Oh, didn't get this song on, guys, so I apologize.
Right. Okay.
Next week, we'll get it on. Thank you.
You
all
got
right.
it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Take care.
Thank you, Andrew. I love to work at nothing.
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Of reciprocity. Build that sucker. I'm Michael Toscano. The State Department says it's not surprised that Russia is a